Sports on FM just sounds better. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in, everybody. On this Tuesday morning, Jimbo Fisher is going to join us, Sage Rosenfeld as well. So we got a lot of football covered. Man, those Aggies are playing well. And boy, they got a big one this Saturday at Ole Miss. Game day will be there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk to Jimbo Fisher. And more stuff swirling about Jimbo Fisher and LSU, where apparently Scott Woodward is saying, oh, we're not giving up on Jimbo Fisher. We'll see. Jimbo has made it clear that he ain't going there. He loves Texas A&M. He just got Walter Nolan to commit, who's the number one player coming out of high school.
Jimbo's reputation would be dog food for the rest of his life if he left the Aggies. After getting an extension this year, he would be done in coaching circles. I mean, it's something you just don't do.
Well, he'll be rich that he don't care about that stuff.
He is so rich already.
Yeah.
He'll be richer than his $10 million.
Yeah, he'll be richer than rich. He's richy rich.
This would be something that would be horrific to pull this on the Aggies.
But also, Scott Woodward has to give the lip service of, I'm still going after
him. I think you do that for LSU fans.
So I'm just giving up.
This is just window dressing for LSU fans. That's all it is.
I don't believe that Jimbo ain't going anywhere. Jimbo has made it clear that he loves it. I mean, he's been emphatic. And that's why he would be done, to me, is how much he's lying.
It'd be the whole thing.
Yeah.
It'd be the whole thing, getting that extension, saying this and that all the time. Jimbo's not going to LSU. There's a lot of guys who could go, who will be rumored for LSU. I know Mel Tucker's been one over at Michigan State. It ain't going to be Jimbo.
No.
Jimbo's not going to be that guy.
Mel Tucker, I could certainly see.
I could too.
And listen, it's never happened before, and having an African-American head coach is something I think that Louisiana is interested in. As I understand it, there is, the governor has said he would like to see that happen at LSU. And I think it's probably about time. It's about time that happened as well. So Mel Tucker would be a perfect, and Mel Tucker is a hell of a football coach.
It's a great job up to this point.
Yeah, last time they hired a Michigan State coach, they won a national championship.
St. Nick.
Yep. So it would be, I think it would behoove everyone involved, except Michigan State, obviously, for Mel Tucker to be the next head coach there. But, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I agree with you. I don't think there's any way Jimbo goes. I got buddy, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be Jimbo. I'm telling you, it's Jimbo. No, it ain't Jimbo. It ain't Jimbo. So just stop whatever. You know, I don't know what you're hearing or what, but Jimbo ain't going nowhere. He's staying with them Aggs, and they're playing some defense. You know, offensive coach that Jimbo is, that is a hell of a defensive team. A hell of a defensive team. What do you see? What do you think about them against Ole Miss on Saturday?
I think it's going to be a dogfight.
We'll see if Matt Corral is good enough to face a really, really, really good defense.
Yeah, so Matt Corral's got a bad ankle. He hurt it in the game against Liberty. So that might be something that helps the Aggies out a little bit, because you could see it's his lead ankle, it's his left ankle, and he was really having a hard time driving into his front ankle in the second half. When making throws, he did a good job of making the throws anyway and throwing accurately, but he couldn't really step into his throws the way he wanted to. So I think it's going to be, interesting to see, you know, how healthy he is, to see if he's fully healthy. But, this is a good matchup. It's a good matchup because that is a good offense. They got a pretty good running attack over there at Mississippi State. It's a high speed, high tempo offense that causes defenses to wear down a little bit. I thought they were just okay against Liberty. I thought the defense, you can have some success against that defense too. So that's one of the games that will be a really, really intriguing game. I'm really starting to dig in. For the first time, I looked at a couple of quarterbacks yesterday. I'm not writing them up, but I had to do a podcast with Dave Damashek. We were going to talk about quarterbacks. I watched Kenny Pickett. He's pretty good, man. Kenny Pickett was, he's throwing the ball pretty well. He's got some mobility. I watched a kid named Carson Strong out of Nevada who's got really good arms, savvy, but he's not mobile. So I'm kind of, that's a little bit of a concern for me. And then I wrote up Malik Willison. I just wrote about the game, Malik Willison and Matt Corral. These are all quarterbacks, you know, that the Texans will look at in some way, shape, or form. Problem for the kid from Nevada is he's another version of Davis Mills. So I don't think you'll be interested in that. Well, in terms of how he plays and a little bit of lack of mobility, he's had some knee issues over his career. He's just not that mobile anyway. But I think Pickett's going to be a factor. Matt Corral, to me, I think Malik Willis is a developmental quarterback. I don't see him as an early pick. I think he's got, it concerns me when you have three interceptions in a game three times in a single season, and it's against not great defenses. So that's a concern for me with Malik Willis. I think he's got a ways to go before you can feel really comfortable that he's a top five pick.
Yeah.
The Texans will be in the top five.
Yeah, he may turn out to be a really good quarterback, showing right now at Liberty is really hurting him. I mean, he came in
as one
of the favorites to be a top pick, but what he's doing this year is certain, especially, and like that Ole Miss game, that wasn't good. So, you got to perform. Somebody might be getting a bargain there. Somebody might be getting, somebody who's fallen and maybe translates to the next level. We'll see. 705 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Boy, that game last night. Tony Corrente looked like. So Cassius Marsh sacks Ben Roethlisberger. He goes
late
towards
the game.
He's just off the practice squad. He looks over at the Pittsburgh bench. Tony Corrente, the referee, backs into him. Literally backed into him as he's walking off the field.
He turns around, and as he's running back to his sideline, he's very close to the ref. The ref turns and looks like he almost backs into it. Well, he does back into him. He catches him with a glancing shot.
Doesn't look like he says anything to their sideline.
But the ref throws a flag. Now, it is stupid to walk over there and mean mug. I could see where he could call it for that, even though in that particular instance that's tough. But I could see him doing that for staring over there, but he didn't do it at that time. He sat there and watched.
At no point
did he throw it. He waited.
Waited.
Right there, throw it. And instead, he throws it after he gets hit.
So Marsh starts running toward the Bears sideline, and Tony Corrente, the referee, backs into him and then throws the flag. And for a taunting call on the Bears, it gives Pittsburgh a first down. Pittsburgh goes down and scores, and Pittsburgh wins the game. It's questionable on Tony Corrente right there.
Very questionable. I think it looks bad, because it doesn't look. If you're going to call it when it's happening. What it looks like is now that's what Tony's saying he's calling, but it looks like he slightly backs into Cassius Marsh and then throws the flag after that happens.
Yeah.
The reality is, if you're going to call for taunting, you got to call it when it's happening.
Right.
You can't call it after you get run into by the player when
he initiated
are the ones
the contact.
Who initiated that contact. Yeah.
I mean, there's too many.
Bears needed that win. The Bears had to have that win because they are alive, believe it or not. The Bears with the win there are absolutely alive in a playoff hunt in the NFC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now that helps Pittsburgh immensely as they are actually back in the hunt in this thing.
5-3.
5-3. Not playing great football, but
a mess of the playoffs.
And here's the thing. I was watching yesterday. There's Uncle Sal and Clay Travis do. I couldn't hear this.
Like a gambling thing?
Yeah, the gambling thing. It's called something bet. They had Cleveland -120 to make the playoffs. And they both said, oh, yeah, that's a good bet. -120. Except here's the problem with everybody in the AFC. There's two teams in the East vying for the playoffs. Four teams in the North that can make the playoffs. The Titans, for sure, are in the playoff hunt, if not almost guaranteed the AFC South. But the Colts are still in it at 4-5. And then the AFC West, there's four teams. We're talking about 12 teams that are still very much in the hunt. Would you take Cleveland minus 120 right now when, in fact, they are in last place, tied for third with the Bengals in the AFC North? I don't think that's
not good. 120.
That's
not good.
I wouldn't take minus 120 on anybody.
That's not
with
the
12
odds.
Teams in the hunt.
I saw different odds.
They got Cleveland minus 120 to make the playoffs.
That's not good odds.
That's not good odds at all.
No, they're log jammed in their own division.
Yeah.
It's not good odds right now.
No, not good odds at all. Now, did they look pretty good? Yeah. Is there addition by subtraction? Yeah, I think so. I think they're a better team without Odell.
I do too. And history shows that. Baker Mayfield's best games where he's had like 130 QB rating or whatever, four of them have come without OBJ on the field, and one of them came with him on the field where he had one catch. He's a better quarterback, and he's always been a better quarterback without Odell Beckham Jr. The team is a better team. Odell Beckham Jr. is more name than game. He's got the name that people recognize. He's been living off the same, you know, the same catch for the Giants for years and years. And he's had years where he was pretty good. But he was also a penalty guy. He'd get into penalty situations. He would pout on the sidelines. He was tough to deal with in the locker room and for the New York Giants. They got rid of him. Frankly, you know, rumor has it that Cleveland's GM at the time, John Dorsey, didn't even consult with anybody, just went and got him instead of really consulting with the business, the building to see how he would fit in. And now, in a weird, Dan Hansis, who does stuff at NFL Network and NFL.com, he made a comment about Booger McFarland saying Odell Beckham Jr., you know, talking about he's still a top 10 receiver in the league. And I said, this is a weird narrative that's going on that people seem to be, there seems to be a complete disconnection with how he plays versus how they see him. And Dan said, I'm to the point where I believe this is all some elaborate prank that all the media members have gotten together and former players to say, let's try to sell this. Let's try to push this and see how far we can get it. Because it doesn't make any sense. And like the Raiders aren't going to hire. We'll see where he lands. I don't care where Odell Beckham Jr. lands. He's just, we've seen this historically time and time again where a big name guy in a sport will not be playing great, but he still has a big name. He ends up going to a team and, you know, like Carmelo with the Rockets. It was a really big, Carmelo. Carmelo hadn't been a good player, but people were buying into the name for some reason. And he was a complete zero for the Rockets.
Well, it's funny, though. I think that in this offense, and, you know, because Baker wasn't great, what did he throw for? He didn't throw for many yards at all this week. But the thing is they play this team, and I'm not saying that they are, but this team reminds me of the old Packers teams with Bart Starr. This team reminds me of the Cowboys in the early 90s.
With Aikman?
Aikman didn't throw for a lot of yards.
No, you run and
you
Baker
run
can't
the ball.
Throw. Yeah.
And, but now they had Michael Irvin, but they had Alvin Harper and Jay Novacek. They had Emmett, obviously. This team runs the ball as long as Baker doesn't make mistakes, as long as Baker throws, you know, intermediate routes and whatnot. They're not big home run. This is not a big home run team, which Odell didn't fit in. He just didn't fit in this kind of offense. So I think this team probably is going to be better without somebody. I need the ball. No, it's a team. This thing is a team game with Chubb as the center point, and Odell couldn't take that, couldn't stand that. That he's not the center point of everything. That the world doesn't revolve around Odell Beckham. So I think that the Cleveland Browns are going to be much better. I think they proved that this week. That offense is a lot more efficient, and they're a much better football team.
I mean, Baker's coming off 132 rating. He was 14-21 for 218 yards, two touchdowns, and zero interceptions.
You know what? If he does that every game, they win.
Well, but we're too into. People have too difficult a time wrapping their head around 218 yards being a really great game because we're so fantasy football statistically oriented, you know, where you see this and you don't think great game. The fact is he made every throw he was supposed to. He was incredibly efficient and they ran the crap out of the ball and they played defense.
That's what they're supposed
to. That's the recipe for winning.
Yeah.
It's no not, question. You know, you look at the Ravens and I saw a comment about Lamar Jackson being the best player in football. He played terrible in the first half, which is why they were there. You have to run the ball, play some defense. You can still win football games that way.
Jimbo Fisher next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got Aqueduct Plumbing. Right now, we got our people, Mary and Billy, and the great people over at Aqueduct Plumbing. And I was actually thinking about them on the way. And I think we have to emphasize this is how much we really like those people, how much that how great they are at what they do, how you can trust them. That's the most important thing, I think, when you're talking about a plumber coming to your home, giving you an estimate, making sure that they do the work that they promise that they're going to do. They will repipe. What if you've got water pressure problems? They'll look into it. They'll find it. And if it's relatively inexpensive for them to do, guess what? They're going to tell you it's relatively inexpensive to do. So this is not a big deal. If you've got foundation issues or cracks in your wall, they can help with this. Weird noises when you turn your water on, running out of hot water, all of these things, they can help. They're at your disposal. 281-488-6238. TheBenchPlumbing.com.
TheBenchPlumbing.com. And can I just tell you, tankless water heaters. If you have a large family and or just a decent-sized family and you want to keep that hot water, make sure that you call my friends over at TheBenchPlumbing.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, time to bring in Jimbo Fisher. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The head coach of the Aggs. And they're fighting the Ole Miss Rebs this week with College Game Day going to be there. Another big one, nationally televised game for your Aggs. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great to be with y'all. Doing well.
Man, congratulations on that win. That was just looked like the hardest fought game you could possibly have. Your defense, coach, was spectacular.
Yeah, we were. It was an old classic game, very hard fought, very physical to line both lines of scrimmage. I thought, you know, eventually we were able to win both lines of scrimmage and be able to do things. Our defense was outstanding. It suffocated, really thick gaps, really played well, tackled in space, leveraged the football, pressured. Well, I was proud about, we got pressure on the quarterback, but we did it with a disciplined scheme that allowed us to not let Nick overrun and create the big plays with his legs, which is hard to do because he's a very dynamic player. Hank Grigg, the tailback, is a very dynamic player. Getting him on the ground, we tackled well and just played an outstanding game, kept control of it. And then I thought offensive line, as it went on, we kept wearing and wearing in the offensive line. We were able to run the football. Threw it well, Zach. I mean, Zach got banged up, but man, watch this, to be able to come back in the game and do the things he did, make some big throws. We didn't play clean on off. We left some opportunities to get away, a lot of things, but played hard and physical, and we didn't let it affect it. We played the next play, and then Seth was kicking the ball really well. I missed one, but otherwise hit four great ones, punted it well. And, you know, just an old school, two good football teams that went at it. And what I was proud about was we were able to really, we got stronger as the game went, and we liked the physicality of the game. Offense and defense, our players liked it, and I thought we thrived on it, and I thought we came out on top.
Coach Jimbo Fisher, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, how scary is it as a head coach? Again, Zach goes under the tent. What are you thinking when that happens again?
Well, I didn't know if he'd come back. Because, I mean, separated shoulders, I've done like that. Sometimes, you know, if you gain your strength and you don't pop it back, you can usually come back. But I didn't know. We had no idea. We were planning on not being there. And they got in, they say he still had his strength. He was good. They say they could push trap and he'd be ready to go. Felt really good. I mean, safe wise. I mean, so he just, I mean, he's a tough guy. It was weird. It wasn't really on the tackle. It was when the other guy fell on him and his arm was extended. It was the second guy that fell on him. So we need to get down and learn to slide. But I was just, you know, it made me nervous. It was. We had Blake went in the game, got that situated. But, you know, just his ability and toughness and competitive. And like I said, when your quarterback's tough and competitive, man, it's hard for the rest of those guys not to be that way.
Coach, three straight games where you hit the 200-yard mark rushing. I don't know if that's a number that you're looking at, but, I mean, obviously the offensive line, you've been mixing and matching, or at least you had been, and you found something. Guys have started playing together. You had two running backs, almost. A-Chain almost hit the 100-yard mark to go with Spiller. Can you talk about your ability to really find and focus in on the running game and what that's meant to, I think, to you, as an offensive, you know, as a guy who is out there trying to put together play calling, what does that mean when you know you can go get the yards that you need?
Well, the stability. You can get in makeable third down situations, which we didn't do. We had some drops on third down. Had some critical drops in that game, too. We had four or five drops that really took the momentum away. So I said we didn't play clean. Played hard. Things they had were there. it's got to do them better, and they know that too. But when you can count on going to get, we're averaging almost 6 yards a rush for the year. When you can go get it second and 10, you can make it third and 6, third and 5, or first and 10, you can get to second and 5 and open your playbook up. And when you got a quarterback who's evolving into it, and what he's doing the first time, now he's really starting to become a veteran because he has played more. But to have that stability, take pressure off the guys back there and hand it, and those guys make plays, not only make plays, make big plays. And, you know, there's actually a couple times there I thought we had some runs I thought we were going to put in the end zone. They caught us by the shoelace. So, I mean, there's a lot there. But to have that stability and physicality, and I don't care what you say, and I don't care how skilled you are, how many passes you throw, you got to win the line of scrimmage. You got to be able to run the football.
Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, I don't know how much interaction scouts, NFL scouts or whatnot, but what do you tell Aaron Hansford made a tackle on a third down completion that stopped it and stopped them from getting a first down. That dude is just playing. So what are you telling scouts about Aaron Hansford?
Well, I mean, just that he's athletic. He's a multi-position player. He can play behind the line of scrimmage inside. He's a very dynamic blitzer. He can play on the edge. He can run. He can cover. You know, and he has a lot of versatility. He has a lot of special teams value. So, I mean, you get two or three or four players in one, which adds to your value. You know, in the NFL, a limited number of spots, man, the more you can do, the better you are.
Yeah. Well, he is playing his butt off, isn't he, Coach?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. That whole group, I mean, I thought him, A. White was good. Cooper, man, I tell you what, Cooper flying around hitting people, too. Now, he and Antonio Johnson, those guys, I mean, there's a group of them, though.
Yeah.
They're playing well.
Leon, too. Leon playing great, too.
Leon and Damani. Those safeties are playing well. I mean, they're the second-level guys. We're tackling better in space and reducing our angles. And it also matters when you're so physical up front that how you can fit those things are not big gaps to fit. So it helps.
So this is a totally different game that you're going into this week, Coach, with a high-flying mm-hmm. offense as opposed to, you know, Bo Nix and what Auburn offers. This is a big change in direction for your defense this week.
Well, it is. I mean, to a point, when you watch them, though, you go back and watch, they run the football.
Yes.
They run the football a lot. They're throwing it, but they're running it.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback runs it, so it's very similar to Bo in that you have to, how you have to rush him, how you have to play him. And you're going to have to be the no-huddle. You got to get things set up, more RPO-type things. And what you got to have, you got to have your leverages set. You're going to have to play some man and mix your looks up. And but you're going to have to keep that. Their quarterback is dynamic, man. I mean, he can throw it, run it. You're going to have to keep his leg intact as you got to affect him in ways. We got to control the lines of scrimmage and contain that running game. Because as much as you see they're throwing, if you really look at their numbers, they are running the football very well.
They run it really well. I watched the entire game and was writing up the two quarterbacks from the game, he and Malik Willis. And I tell you, I kind of felt this about Matt Corral already. I mean, I see a guy who is, you know, more dynamic than a guy like Baker Mayfield, but has the same kind of feathery touch down the field. He commands his offense. He's got that gregarious, you know, attitude and nature on the field that you really like. And I think the thing that really is a concern for a lot of teams is when they start going fast, they go really, really fast. And so your defense has to be conditioned, and then they have to be,
as you've been talking about twice,
sound tackling team in space. You have to be.
You have to play leverages. He runs much better than Baker.
Yeah,
he's
better,
a really
much better
guy. And he'll run it physically. He'll put his shoulder down and run, and probably a better pure passer. And I don't mean that.
I do too. I think he's a better player. I think he's a better prospect, a pro prospect than Baker. To be honest with you, I think
Baker,
he's a really good player.
Yeah, but I mean, the guy's dynamic, man. We go and have our hands full, no doubt.
So Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. You can watch all your Aggies games over there. They're good Aggs, the Damaris's. Coach, you can't talk specifically, but can you talk about how different it is? Is it any different now with your success last year, with the Alabama win this year, what it's like going into recruits' homes?
Yeah, I mean, people are seeing the consistency. People are like, you did it 1 year, can you do it two? Can you really play with the big boys up top? And we can't. And I felt that, and I think we can line up with anybody. And, you know, it's been a big whirlwind. We've had some great commitments lately. We've got some guys that are, you know, we're on the horizon with some others, and we think this class can be a very, very special class. And you can argue all you want. You want to be a great coach, you got to get players. You got to get players that have the ability to win those championships and have the vision and the foresight to be that type of personality, too. They want to make that commitment to do that. And that's what we're telling them to come here. And our assistant coaches and our recruiting staff are doing a heck of a job.
Did you get to watch any of that LSU-Alabama game? Were you really rooting for
No,
LSU?
I really didn't. I didn't get to see much of it. I didn't get to see much of it. Believe it or not, I was out to the ranch a little bit and had a little bad headache and kind of laid down a little bit, took a little nap.
Well, good for you. Good for you, Coach. Get out to the ranch and take a little nap. Is it one of – are you telling the team, hey, guys, we still got a shot to win this division? Not only this division, but we got a shot to win the SEC?
Well, no, I don't. Here's what I tell them. When you get to – I would say November. They remember November. We've got to November, and you're relevant. You're still relevant in the mix. So here's what y'all – when that happens, now you're in a playoff mode. You're 1 week at a time. So you block out everything. You have 1 week seasons, and no matter who you play, who's next, the way you play. We put ourselves in a playoff mode. When you always say you make September and October, if they're right. Then November. Then I say they remember November. Then November is a key month, and we always treat it. I've always treated it just like a playoff. 1 week at a time, one world at a time. Don't worry about anything else and lock it in. And then at the end of the month, look up and see where you're at. You might be right where you want to be. So that's just play one at a time and get focused on Ole Miss.
Yep. Well, I'm sure. Listen. That recruiting thing, Coach, I'm sure it helps that how emphatic you've been that you're going to be with the Aggies. And I'm sure that helps when you get to recruit homes as well, because there's a lot of stuff swirling out there. And I'm sure hope isn't a distraction for your football team.
No, it hasn't been at all, because like I addressed it right off the bat. I plan on being here. I signed a new contract. I want to be here. I love this place. And I truly believe we can make this place be as good as anywhere in the country.
Honestly, I'm going to give you a chance to do a commercial here, but when you look at this, the people I talk to around the NFL, you know, my dad's been everywhere. And when I talk to football people, they've always, for a long time, talked about A&M, but then the money started really pouring in, the facilities. I mean, honestly, and John, you've been to places. The facilities are unbelievable. It's a great college town. There's no reason in the state of Texas that you can't win at the highest level you need to win at if you build the right way.
There's everything you need here. It's a phenomenal
everything
place
you need is there.
Wonderful people. People here are genuine. The day is long. They love the Aggies. This town is a great place to live. You got Houston right there in basically the suburb an hour away from you. You have the things you need, but it's a wonderful life. Great summer. And then the Aggie Network and what this school means, basketball. Not just in the education
That's
part
huge,
of it, everything
yeah.
about the genuineness of it, the athletes in the state, and now that we're able to brand ourselves nationally and go out and start picking guys like we're getting right now and add to this mix, it's been tremendous. And I can't beat a better place.
That's Jimbo Fisher right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good luck against the Rebels this week, Coach. We appreciate you being here.
Guys, thank you for having me. Have a wonderful day.
All right, there's Jimbo Fisher, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. You're looking for a great place to go watch your eggs. Let's go. Get on over to Damaris. It's right there on 18th Street, 610. 610 and 18th Street, right there where 290 meets. Great place to go watch the eggs and all of your football. They got all the games there.
And when you're watching your games, while you're watching a game, you could be having action on it with Underdog Fantasy. You can go to underdogfantasy.com and take a look at it. But download it. Download the app on your iOS or your Android phone, and you will have at your disposal one of the coolest daily fantasy sites. And it's so much more than daily fantasy. Yeah, you could have had action on the Monday night game or certainly on Thursday night where you are playing or basketball tonight, for example, where you're playing daily fantasy sports against one person head-to-head, can be three people, four people. You can be in a larger group competing for much more money with smaller entry fees. There's so many different ways you can take advantage of just amazing daily fantasy, but they also have the game that everyone loves, which is the over-under game or the rivalry game, where you're picking a player, how they're going to do statistically. Are they going to go over or under that statistic that's there, the passing yards, the rushing yards, the touchdowns, the points, the rebounds, tie them up together. And if you pick anywhere between two and five players, you are going to win multipliers of your bet. It's just like parlays. Same concept, completely legal, thanks to your skill level. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Check them out for yourself. Promo code radio. Get $25 on top of your first deposit. Underdogfantasy.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 7:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Not a really busy day, other than Alex Bregman getting wrist surgery. So that was kind of a big deal yesterday. Other than that, not a lot of Houston sports to talk about. Rockets in action tomorrow night against Detroit. 2 one-win teams going at it. And this is a collision course. These two are on a collision course. So we'll see what can – well, and it's the number one and number two pick going at it in action. We'll see who's really going to take over the lead for – don't you have a Jalen Green bet that you're –
I thought he would be – and it's still time for him to really take off as a Rookie of the Year candidate. But right now it has not materialized.
You don't think? With 35%?
Shoots terrible.
28% from three.
Kevin Porter Jr., they're going to have to make a change here. It's just not – he's just not a point guard. I mean, not a lead guard, not a guy that's going to set up Jalen Green. They're going to have to get some veteran – they're going to have to get a veteran or two on that team. It's unfortunate that John Wall – actually, in hindsight, would be pretty good to run that team for him. But, you know, he's told you he wouldn't play, and then you said, okay, don't play. But would you like this giant sack of cash? And he said,
yes.
Yeah, I was counting on that. And so that's where they stand. A guy that the team could really use right now just doesn't have to play, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how it works anymore.
Yeah, pretty much how it works.
I miss the collective bargaining agreement where players, your highest paid players don't have to play. But something happened in sports where your highest paid players, if they just decide they're out now. And I guess that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So Jalen will have to figure things out on his own. But, yeah, they were competitive against the there's signs of some competitiveness, but they've got to – it's just a mishmash of offensive philosophy. And this is where Steven Silas, that's supposed to be his strength. He's really going to have to get people to buy in and play with more discipline. And that's the problem with a young team. Will they play with discipline? Will Steven Silas be able to really, you know – buckle down and force guys to play with discipline? Or is it just a players league to the point that they're just not even going to listen to Steven Silas and he'll be out before he even really gets shot? Last year wasn't fair to Steven Silas. This year he's got a little bit more talent, but it's just completely disharmonious on the court far too often. So this is a game where you should win. You'll be a favorite. I shouldn't say you should win. You'll be a favorite. Let's see you step on a team that is your equal, you know, in terms of win-loss percentage. Let's see the Rockets really step on somebody and play some good basketball. I've seen two really good games for Jalen Green. I want to see number three coming up against the Pistons. That's what I want to see. In a head-to-head matchup against the first pick, I want to see Jalen have a big game here and a Rockets win. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome. That's tomorrow night, so we will see what happens. Looking at back now as the Steelers win, looking back now at the NFL weekend that was, it really stands out that the AFC is just a mishmash. The AFC may not have, honestly, there may be five better teams in the NFC than before you get to the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I don't even know that it's arguable. With Dallas, of course, Dallas looked like crap against Denver, but that was one game. They obviously have played much better than that. The Packers, the Buccaneers, the Cardinals, and the Rams. With those teams and how good they are, I don't think that there's any question that those five teams would be better than the Bills. They would be better than the Ravens. Is Tennessee the best that the AFC has to offer? Even without Derrick Henry, they looked dominant.
Boy, I just can't envision a Ryan. I just can't envision Jeremy Nichols and Ryan Tannehill leading this team to. But AJ Brown is a really, really good receiver. Tannehill's actually played well. He's played really well. The defense has stepped up and played well in different situations. I'm not willing to put my chip. If I got a $20,000 chip and I can put it anywhere on the board, I'm not putting it on Ryan Tannehill. I'm just telling you. I might be wrong.
Except when they have to, he can run. He's been throwing really well.
But I'm trying to win all the loot in the AFC, and I got a $20,000 chip, and they say place it anywhere on the board. I just can't put it on Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. I just can't. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he'll prove me wrong. And he's played pretty, he's played well for, this is going on his second year where he's played pretty well with Tennessee. But I just think without Derrick Henry, it's going to catch up with them.
You know, McNichols has run well And you, it, I think that, that
is it. McNichols.
It's McNichols.
Jeremy McNichols. Yeah. I wrote him up and I forgot his name. Yeah. You know, he's on seven teams, and he had talent coming out of Boise. And I ask around about him, and they're like, he is ridiculously immature, like little kid immature.
Really?
Like, stop playing so much. Like, you got to tell him to stop playing so much.
That's funny.
Because he does have some talent.
Listen, and Deontay Foreman runs hard, and obviously, you know, Adrian Peterson, the addition, I think that gave him a spark. He run, obviously runs hard, and I don't. There's still stuff left in that tank. I don't know. Here's the difference, I think. We saw a Tennessee team that couldn't play defense. This Tennessee team, maybe it's just that the Rams' offensive line is crap. Maybe it's just that they're not very good. But they have looked a lot better than they did against Tennessee on Sunday night. Tennessee dominated them up front.
Jeffrey Simmons is an absolute beast, and he got on a matchup. Sometimes you just have some bad matchups on the offensive line. But, yeah, you could see in that one in the first half, they had to completely change their game plan and work off a boot action because they had to engage Tennessee's defensive line as with fake run game instead of allowing them to pin their ears back. It was a huge, huge problem. But in the AFC, you know, people will want to keep defaulting to Kansas City. Kansas City got a win, and I feel worse about them.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting wins, and I feel worse about their chances with wins. This is like a whole season of Pat Mahomes is broken. This team has lost. At some point, as we've said before, you have to believe teams when they tell you who they are. And Kansas City's told you who they are multiple times this year. If this last game wasn't an indicator of what you're dealing with, you have Baltimore who has to come from behind to beat some middling non-playoff teams, and people are looking at them like they're some kind of great playoff team. I can't see that level of inconsistency winning, but who's it going to be? I like that the Browns have, you know, I like that the Browns have a running game and defensive pass rush. To me, that's what's built to last. Baker's actually having a very efficient season, but does he have enough? Like, can you win a game if you get behind two touchdowns and Baker's got to try to, you know, Baker's got to try to bring you back with his arm? Do you have the weapons necessary? I don't think you can trust Cincinnati. They're just not a team that you can trust right now. You know, the Colts will start running the ball. Their defense will be, I think
the
they're
Bills,
gonna,
the I mean, Ravens. The Bills,
you want to say the Bills, but you just got beat in the most embarrassing fashion in Jacksonville, where you had no answer for four quarters. You couldn't get a single touchdown against the Jaguars. I mean, I guess the default is still the Bills, but that's a really rough game to come off of to say you're going to back the Bills. And do you back Mac Jones and the Patriots? They're playing better now, but that there's no team. The AFC is going to get their asses kicked in the Super Bowl is what it looks like.
I don't know. I don't know, and I'll tell you why. And especially, and here's why, and especially if it's Tennessee. I'm going to tell you this. I think David Long is playing as well as any linebacker. But they don't only they got Byard, they've got Harold Landry, they've got Evans, they've got Jenkins, they've got Elijah Molden. This is they got Jeffrey Simmons up front. This is a team that actually it might be coming together for them. This they know exactly what they are. They you know Ryan Tannehill is going to have a controlled passing game. They're going to run the football even without Derrick Henry. I don't know. I think Tennessee is real, and I think it's in large part because of that defense. Their linebackers and DBs are as well as good as anybody in the AFC. So I don't know. I think Tennessee is the best team in the AFC.
But all of their games other than one, right? It's just one that they've had Derrick Henry out.
This was the first one.
We don't know what they're going to be yet.
Yeah.
We just don't know yet.
But when you go to the Rams and you dominate them the way that they did?
No, there's no question. I just, I really, truly question. Look, you got two layups. You didn't have a lot of offense. You got two layup touchdowns because of Matt Stafford playing like Carson Wentz. Matt Stafford did Carson Wentz-y stuff, and you had two layup touchdowns. Let's see how they do when they've got to have extended drives for points. You took out such a massive part of your offense that I have to believe that that's going to be a factor at some point. If they would have lost that game, I would think the Colts would have a good chance of winning a division because the Colts are now healthy, and here they come. And I would think the Titans would come back to the pack. But you look at the last two games, the people thought the Titans were going to lose. Titans keep winning.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel's doing a hell of a job. No, but let's.
And by the way, they still got Houston twice. They've got Jacksonville. They play the Falcons. They've got.
They already played the Falcons.
They got New Orleans. What?
So they already played the Falcons. The remaining schedule, they've got New Orleans. They've got the Texans at home. They go to the Patriots.
Oh, they play. Yeah, that's right.
They've got the Jags back in Tennessee.
Yep, they go
to the Pittsburgh. They have the 49ers at home.
At home.
They have Miami at home.
They have who? Dolphins?
Yeah. And
that's
then they
easy.
Come here to
who's
end the
that?
Season.
Titans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm wrong. They win the division easy.
No, look, they got New Orleans at home this week with Trevor Siemian. They got Houston twice. At New England, which won't be easy, that's for sure. They got Jacksonville, at Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Miami, Houston.
Hey, at Pittsburgh's completely winnable. You saw that.
They could go 6-2 over
Jimmy
the last
Garoppolo,
eight games.
Trey Lance, either one of them, because I think Trey Lance will take over soon. That is a very favorable.
Yeah, absolutely. When you got Houston twice, the last game of the season is Houston.
And the Jags.
To win the division?
And you're
I'm not sure if I like that one. Okay. Because the Texans are going to step up, and you know how the heart of this team. By the way, Coach Culley met the media. We'll hear from Coach Culley about, they got a bye this week, and so we'll hear from Coach Culley about that next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know if you're hearing the commercials that we did. Doc Linville was in here, and he really can explain the neo-grafting better than I can because, well, he's a doctor, and that's what he does. I'm sure I might be. I might be smarter about this whole process than he is. I doubt it, since it's his process, since he's the one that knows it all, and all
but
I did was
be.
Sit there.
But he might be. We don't know that for sure.
Don't forget, my daughter has got a doctorate in psychology.
Right.
So
yeah.
I mean, so there's that. But here's the deal: is I just sat there in the chair, and then I had hair, so I let him do it all. I didn't do anything except just sat there. And, you know, it worked out for the best doing it that way. And it's going to work out for the best. Here's the deal about it is the results. You want the results. And Doc is getting the results. He's the best in this business. He actually, I think he's number two in the city for hair replacement now. And he just started doing this just a few years ago. It is awesome. The reason? The results. You want results? You want hair? 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 747 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We don't have to watch Texans football. It's just a relief. You know, you have to. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of set up my day around the Texans, which is it's not going to be a fun day. I don't expect it to be. You know, it's our job. So, you know, all of us have our crosses to bear. That's our cross to bear, is that we have to watch the Texans.
You don't have to watch it twice to pull an hour worth of highlights and then an hour worth of post-game audio and stuff like that on Monday mornings, too.
Well,
so you get off easily that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to listen to what I pull, so.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of times I would watch the Texans twice. I really haven't had to this year. I really haven't had to. I don't want to do that. I don't like to do that. But Coach Culley met the media at their off week, and heading into this off week, he says that they're going to reevaluate everything.
You evaluate everything. I evaluate what I'm doing. I evaluate the message that I'm giving to them. I know the message I'm giving to them is the right message. Is am I giving to them the right way? What can I do to maybe give it to them to the point to where they really, really, truly understand exactly what it means? But after 9 ball games now, I mean, they know. I mean, they know. And now there's an accountability and responsibility on all of us, us as coaches and them as players, to get this right.
Yeah.
It's just soundbite.
I'm sure his message is right.
Care factor, 1 to 10. Where are you at right now?
With the Texans?
Yeah.
As a player?
Nope.
What do you mean?
Just you as a person.
Me?
Yep.
How do I feel about them?
Yeah, your care factor. Your personal care factor.
Oh.
It's a scale of 10.
All-time low.
2.5?
Two. Maybe 1.5.
I'm about two. Two and a half, yeah. 2.5 might be high.
I mean, I honestly would not waste my time going to the game.
So many people have talked about how they got their Sundays. Like, they got one guy's a Longhorn fan. He goes, honestly, Lance, being a Longhorn and Texan fan, I didn't care about I literally spent the outdoors in great weather Saturday, Sunday. And I totally see it. I don't – the Texans used to – I used to record. I keep it on one. I did it this year even. I record. I keep it on one. I hit pause. It's on one receiver. I got a dual receiver unit for DirecTV. Then I hit my button down twice. Then I bring up channel 702, which has eight games on it in eight different screens. And so I'm watching there. But then I'll pause that, and I'll go back to the Texans, and I watch Texans with commentary. And so I catch up. So I get to watch all that, and I get to watch those other games. I don't even do that. There is no reason. What do I care what the commentary says? It's all irrelevant. It's nothing I need for the radio show. There's nothing I really need. You guys don't. I don't know if you care. Do you care about Texans? You never call about them. You never tweet about them. You don't do anything about them. And we could tell you, but this is exactly like the Astros. When we're sitting there in 2013, and I'm doing a show with Charlie Polillo at the other station, and it's like you're talking about guys you know will not be Astros ever again after that year, or will not factor in at all. I feel like we're at the same point with the Texans. And it's okay. I mean, it had to happen. I knew it had to happen. But that's the reality of where they are right now. And so they had supposedly 42,000 tickets scanned, which is their lowest in the history of the organization, two weeks ago. Lowest ever.
Watch, because those records are
falling.
That's
what I'm asking. Do you think they get as low as 36,000?
Yeah.
Scanned?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, they'll always say they have 68,000 or whatever.
No.
Tickets sold. Do you think it gets down to 36,000? That is officially the half point of the stadium.
So I think that, okay, let's take a look. You got the Chargers coming in here.
They don't even have fans who come to their own games, the Chargers.
The 28th, they've got the Jets.
No. You're more likely to see Jets fans come out than Chargers fans. There's more New Yorkers here than Charger fans.
Yeah. But honestly, do you think that they will come? I mean, as bad as the Jets are, as bad as the Texans are.
If Mike White's playing, that guy's the savior.
No, he is. He is.
New York is the most excited they've ever been, and they have a second pick of the draft at quarterback who's in his rookie year, and they're already done with him.
That's a Sunday after Thanksgiving, too. Are people going to be traveling
the weekend? Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then December 5th, Indianapolis is here. Do they travel anyway, those people?
I don't know.
Seattle, three straight games at home. Jets, Colts. Seahawks. Seahawks ain't coming all the way down here.
And that's where you make up your ground on the division. With three straight games at home is where you could potentially...
Yeah.
That's where it gets interesting.
Yeah. And then at the end of the year, I don't know, I think the Titans have already wrapped up the division.
Plenty of Titan fans.
January 9th.
It'll be your biggest crowd of the year.
No.
Titan fans coming out? Oh, yeah. You know, you remember how it is with Titan fans. They'll come out.
Yeah, but Texans fans will be done with them. They ain't going to January 9th.
Why would you not go out there on a January day and watch a team with maybe two wins? Why would you not do that?
Maybe two wins? Where's that?
Another one's going to get.
I love your optimism, but.
You play three in a row at home. You're going to win one of those.
Are
two.
You?
Yeah, sure. Jets.
Are you sure you're going to beat the Jets Zach with Wilson Mike White?
Zach Wilson will be back by then. Gives you a chance.
Ooh, that gives you a chance.
Yeah, it gives you a chance.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson will be back. They have to play Zach. They can't play Mike White. Mike White's too dangerous. They have to, by any means necessary, they have to keep him out of the lineup.
Is Mike White the new Jeremy Lin?
They're hoping, because then they'll move him for a first-round pick this
honestly,
year.
No, honestly, is it? Same kind of excitement. Honestly, I got a Jets fan. Ian's a Jets fan. He's like, the Mike White season is here.
It's crazy that a backup has one game, 400 yards, four passing touchdowns. An entire fan base lost its mind. They forgot all about their rookie quarterback. They're done with him. And you know what the Jets can do? If he comes back and keeps playing like this, well, here's the tough decision. Would you move a guy that you had a good grade on in Zach Wilson? Because you'd be moving him after 1 year. You could move him in the draft. This is a huge hypothetical. But would you move a guy like Zach Wilson and say, okay, this isn't a great quarterback draft? One of your other teams that really loved him last year, he's still fresh enough on the vine that you may give us, you know, your first round pick and maybe a, you know, maybe a fifth. Would you take a first rounder for Zach Wilson based on just one game and one quarter on a Mike White who's been in the league already? That would be the ballsiest move of all time. But if you see more and more from him and you think you got a player,
what you can't. Well, I mean, you can't. Obviously, you can't give up on. Well, I don't know. The Cardinals certainly gave up on Josh Rosen fast enough. Although this is the second overall pick. RG3 was the second overall pick, and guess what? Kirk Cousins beat him out. It wouldn't be if Mike White continues to throw really, really well. You know, you can get rid of Zach Wilson. There's precedent. That's for sure.
Do I need to contact our friends in New York and see if they want this drop now that Mike White is running the place?
White power!
Ooh.
You see that, Jets fans?
Yeah.
You see that? White power!
Are the different. Texans ready for
it? It's different when there's power! Three white guys in here and Dell's not in here.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, that's just Dell doing a joke, guys. Don't feel bad.
It's different.
Now Del, it still lives. You see how that Del lives?
Call in so that it's okay for us to play that. We need to be able to play that, Del, still. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. That was our Coach Cully segment. How did it turn into Jets football?
It's not like they're a good team either.
No. So you think that's the way?
I wish the Texans had Robert Saleh, maybe. That's why.
Well,
although Jets fans are like, Robert Saleh's overmatched.
Well, we're going to hear from Brooks Kubina and see if you understand, if you agree with him. On the other side, he was on with the Wheelhouse guys. He covers the Texans for the Chronicle. We'll hear from him on the other side about how long Coach Cully's going to be here. Ooh. But first, how long is John Clay Wolf going to be here? That's always the question when he calls in. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
I'm just over at our memorial office this morning.
You're in town?
Crew.
You're in town?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have thought you'd stop by to do your 1 minute commercial, your 7 minute, 1 minute commercial.
Well, I mean, I used to come in and fill in a little bit here and there, but I noticed that I have to push myself on y'all whenever that happens. I never get a call like, hey, John, will you come in, fill in for John or Lance or whoever, do whatever?
Right.
It's always like, hey, would y'all like me to do that? Sure. I'll let you know.
Hey,
y'all never called me on that. Is anybody taking a vacation this Christmas holiday? You need to fill in?
Maybe. Maybe Lance isn't that into you. I don't know. So, question for you. How about them Cowboys Sunday? How about them?
They caught Houston's chlamydia. They need a
valve.
Don't
blame that on Houston. All right, don't blame that suck on Houston, because there was a special kind of suck you had going on.
It was bad. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was awful. And how about Houston beating SMU last Saturday?
How about that? And then SMU losing again.
I know it. How about that?
Yeah.
Catch me outside, Josh. That was, how about that?
But wait a minute, you were at the TCU game.
I was, and that was, I went just to watch TCU get hurt real bad, because it would make me feel better about myself and my ponies. But actually what happened is I've kind of watched one of the best football games I've seen in years.
Yeah, that was a great game. That was a great game.
Baylor TC down to the wire. I mean, it was incredible. And TCU is like so defeated lately that they acted like they won the national championship by rushing the field and tearing down the goalposts because they beat a bunch of Mormons from Waco, Texas. But that aside, it was a very good contest.
Yeah. Chad Morris's kid looked pretty good, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, not pretty good. And I mean, if Gary Patterson would have put his ass on the field just 2 weeks beforehand, he probably would have still be coaching at TCU.
He's butthurt. He's just butthurt. That's all. All right. Well,
Joey McGuire, Texas Tech. So I play, I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this, but I've been saying it for 5 years on the radio. Some athletic director, please listen and hire this guy. I called SMU's AD and tried to get him to hire McGuire. McGuire was on my team in high school. He's a year older than I, and he was good back then. He was a linebacker, but he took Cedar Hill to four state championships,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised it took this long for someone to take the risk on him as the big job, because he's 50 years old. So we'll be once he got 15 years left in him, solid coaching. This guy really could turn Tech around. I'm not a gambling man. Well, maybe I kind of am. But if I was putting money on it, I think McGuire will turn Tech. He's Art Briles, John. He's Art Briles without the ethics problems.
No. Whoa, wow. Thank you for that, for clarifying. And thank you for clarifying. People need to go to GiveMeTheVin.com to sell their car to you. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5.